A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
On the last episode of The Cheat Code.
He says, "Who's Jason Vives?" And I say, "He's just a friend." And he takes the computer and turns it around with our DM on it. And I'm like, "Oh, shit." And he says, "That's it. I want a divorce." And my jaw dropped. We start to get into it. And he's just like going in and then admits to me that he had an affair of his own like a year ago. I look back in the G-chat and I find a particular G-chat where she is talking about his penis in a way that's very familiar. And I said, all right. And I was prepared in my head to say goodbye. But what I don't want is to get back together with him or to redo this and end up in a place where I'm gonna cheat again. We had a great time
together. It was a serious escape from that negative environment that I was in.
Right.
And I was so happy to just for 72 hours not have to deal with that shit that was at home.
And I was home in the midst of like my life falling apart. This was an escape. But what we did, which, you know, was kind of significant, is, you know, usually when you date somebody, you date them for a few months or a year and you don't go on vacation with them. And that first trip is like, damn, I don't know how I'm gonna rock with this person, and are we gonna be compatible? Does he like sleep with his mouth open? Does he take a dump with the door open? Like all those things.
Yeah, feet stink.
All those things, like how hygiene things. And so while we didn't stay together, we spent like every moment together. And when we went with like, I wanna hook up. If the opportunity presents itself and the stars align, because we were both rooming with people, which made no sense, but also like made all the sense. Cause I'm still scared. I'm still like, you know, I don't know if I wanna do this, but I know I really wanna do this. And I'm still trying to play like a married woman, even though that was not really a thing.
Right. But I was absolutely planning to have sex. Yeah, that was gonna happen as far as I'm concerned. Like, honestly, I probably wouldn't have even gone if I didn't think that you and I were gonna get together.
Hi, welcome to The Cheat Code. This is the story of an affair between one woman and one man told over 10 episodes. Episode 4, Fuckery in Vegas.
It was supposed to be a group trip, X amount of ladies and X amount of gentlemen, and
your people's all backed out.
One of the guys backed out. So it was just me and bro. These first episodes.
Right. But because I'm a little shiesty, what I did was book my flight mad early. So I had a whole day and almost most of the night by myself. The person I roomed with didn't end up coming to like the middle of the night. So I didn't have a single, but...
And can I tell you something?
Yeah.
That's horrible that I don't know if I ever told you.
What?
That morning, my ex-wife's friend's mom passed away.
And you still got on a plane?
15 minutes before... When I say literally, my bags are packed. I'm at the door. I'm like, all right, then. And she got a phone call. And this is, you know, God forgive me, because this was such a selfish moment. So I'm like, well, it ain't her best friend's mom. I'm out. I didn't say it like that, though, because, you know, I'm a nice guy.
Do you want me to stay?
Or I can pretend to be a nice guy?
Well, I told you you're not a nice guy.
I'm not a nice guy.
You're
a good
person,
guy.
But you're not a nice
guy. So, but that almost derailed the whole situation for me.
And I mean, I would have gone and had a good time with my girlfriends. I would have been severely disappointed. Mm. But none of my friends knew what was going on except for the two that were there when I met you. And they still didn't know that we had been talking all the time since like December through February into March. And so I had to tell one sis what was going on. Like, all right, so The good thing with her is that she had been married before, understood not feeling content in your marriage, understood disappointment, understood trying like hell to make it work, and then understood feeling like it's not going to work. So I didn't feel judged.
She's also, I think, naturally a non-judgmental judgmental
person, and right. naturally the person that I could call and be like, all right, so don't tell Jesus, but I'm in jail, and here's what happened. So, you know, it's good because she made me feel like, this is what you're going to do? Yeah, this is what I think I'm going to do. She was like, all right, so let's get the story straight. So she
do it
knew,
right,
right
words,
we're going
right.
to do this right. So I'm like, you know,
that's
she was
shit.
Like, bitch, that's why I'm in the Bellagio and not the regular ass hotel. Yes, because we are setting up the atmosphere. You know, I need views of the Vegas Strip. I need like luxuriating and shit. You know, he can't come into like the Motel 6. We get there and it's me and you and dude at a bar drinking.
Let's just say bro.
Bro is at a bar drinking. And this is dude who had linked us at the party. We get to the bar and bro is feeling the energy. So he's like, oh, I'm tired. I'm going to go take a nap. What are you guys going to do?
It was 2:30 in the afternoon.
And I'm like, we're going to head back to the room. So
I was like, do you need me to walk you to your hotel?
Right. And I'm like, yeah, you know what? You could walk me. And I'm staying at the Bellagio because the bitch got money. Yeah. So we go back to my room and my girls are not going to be there till that late night.
Right.
So we go back and I don't know if any of you, especially you side pieces, remember what it's like the first time you're going to do the deed with the dude that you are being side piece to and the anticipation. So I'm showered, I'm shaved, I'm coiffed. Things are all in order. We have on good underwear and you know, the scene is set and we're in the Bellagio. So, you know, like I'm doing the things. I go in for a moment, excuse me, I'm going to go into the bathroom. I come out in heels and a little something, something. And, you know, and we decide that we're just going to go ahead and get this in.
Had your back turned to me and I was just out of body really.
And we're not going to go into all the details, but it was good. It was good. I was like, thank you. Because if I had gone through this shit.
Consummation.
Right.
But for me too, I was like, either this is a hard lesson in stay your black ass home next time with your wife, or this is a hard lesson in you've got to extend and grow yourself and seek your truth, and you don't owe not doing that to anybody. Us was the confirmation of continuing to find the best version of yourself.
Right. It was that's like, what and we was. Were sober.
And that sex that day.
Word! And we were fucking sober.
No.
We had
drinks at the joint.
But compared to how we get down,
right,
we were right, sober. So right, that was a right. whole other
and
like.
It was 3 in the afternoon.
And it's 3 in the afternoon. It wasn't even dark sex.
No,
so
the lights were on.
The lights were on. And I'm like.
Like daylight.
Post baby body and the whole thing. And we had great, great
sex. No, but you were fine.
Well, thank you. I try. The next few days were a blur and we had a great time and we went out to the club and we went to all these places. And then the night before we're leaving, because, you know, we always take the 4 o'clock in the morning flight home or you got to leave at 4 and catch the 6 a.m. home or some nonsense. My ex calls me and, you know, I'm like, hey, what's going on? And he's like, I haven't really heard from you this weekend. I'm like, yeah, no. And when I tell you this was a drag, it like changed the mood of the whole weekend. And the funny thing is, when we start to talk about it, that there's a pattern of this, both from my ex and your ex. Like we would be on a high from something that we just did or a weekend that we had. And it would be like, let me just rain on your little parade right now, bitch.
Are you going to have fun?
You going to have fun on fun? Some shit?
Jeez.
Right. But we'll get there in a minute. So we get on this phone call and here's the funniest part of this. You are knocked out in the bed behind me.
Wait. Right. That's, you took the call in the whole, when I was in
you
the room?
You are fully clothed. We came from the club. Nothing happened. Like nothing happened that night.
I remember.
We came from the club and it was like, all right, why don't you lay down? I'm gonna pack up my bag.
I remember
so
that.
You're like just sleeping, fully clothed, on top of the bed. The phone call comes in. I try to go in the bathroom. So I'm like, let me just talk freely since he's asleep. And he is like getting on me about like why I'm not fighting for him and I don't seem like I'm super upset. And I'm like literally in tears because I'm like, you want this breakup. I don't want this breakup. Mm-hmm. What are you talking about? And the interesting thing is one of the things that we talked about was we're not sleeping together now. And you remember we talked before.
You had that conversation?
Yeah, we talked okay. before about the fact that the last time we slept together and we had really good sex was the night of your birthday, the day before he found out.
And this is into March now.
Right, and this mm-hmm. is the last time we've ever slept together. Mm-hmm. And he's like going on and on about kind of how even people when they're breaking up, there's like, they want each other. They don't feel like they can be apart. There's a physical want. And in my head, I'm kind of like, bruh, I don't even like you right now. Mm. I love you. I want to stay with you. But liking you to touch you right now, today, absolutely not. And all this time, you have been telling me when you go on these boys trips and shit. And I'm not going to say he betrayed boy code or guy code or whatever, or hoes before, bros before hoes or anything like that. He never betrayed that. But at the same time, he definitely alluded to the fact that his dudes were the ones wilding out. And all the stories never involved him. And he did a good job of calling me. So I knew like he's doing this, but everyone else are the people doing. And so I'm sitting there like, oh, so who you say your friends are is actually who you are. Mm-hmm. All the shit that you are projecting onto these dudes, why would you be with them? And I don't believe like people can influence you to do shit. I don't believe that. You make choices. I don't believe people can influence you. You can be with 70 people smoking weed and not smoke and be like, I'm walking over here. But don't think the smoke is not going to get on you. Don't think you're not going to catch a contact. Don't think you're not with the fuckery just because you're not doing it. You're clearly with the fuckery because you're here. You were doing the same shit. And here I am thinking I'm a bad fucking person. And now you want me to fight for you? Why am I the only person fighting for anything? So was this a setup? Was this a test? Did you say you wanted a divorce to see how I'd react? I hang up the phone after like we have a screaming match. And
I slept right through that.
You slept right through that. This one I knew I could never wake you when I needed to wake you. And
to this day. To this day.
So then you wake up and the mood has changed. And we booked a flight back together. Like our flights came in separately, but we booked a flight back together. And bro was on the flight as well.
Right.
So we're going to the airport and you can feel the shift in the air because we're so depressed because we know we're going back into our situations. And at this point, we don't know when we're going to see each other again. And I remember leaving, getting on the plane, more invested in you than ever because not only are we friends, but now the sex is great. And I left Vegas feeling distraught. Like I felt destroyed. And I just didn't know how to feel. It was so much emotion and so much to process. And I'm about to start a new job. And I remember coming home, getting off the plane. I took a cab home from the airport and I opened the door and he's there. And I looked at him and I was like, it feels like coming home to a stranger.
And I felt terrible for you because I knew that you were going home to
some shit. Yeah.
And I didn't know the half of what it was, but I just knew from our brief conversations about things and your energy. And I thought I could read it. And I was right. You know, I could read it. You were so many things. It was actually incredible that what I thought I was seeing at the time, I can say all these years later, I was right. You were sad, but you were exhilarated. You were eager and anxious. And I saw all these contrasting emotions on the ride home. And I remember asking you about next steps, what you thought.
I was fucking terrified.
And you told me mm-hmm. that you told me, I know that we can be deliriously happy together. And it was still unrealistic to me because I wouldn't have dreamed that you would get a divorce right now.
Well, even when I was saying that, I was still kind of living in like an 80s romance rom-com kind of thing because it was still very much like, I didn't know where this went. I had no idea where this was going. I knew that from what we felt on that weekend, that I felt like you were someone I could be happy with. Mm-hmm. Now, again, we still don't know what paying the bills together are like. We don't know each other's kids. We don't know anything like that. And I am just trying to keep it together. I'm starting a new job. Yeah, I started like March 15th-ish. Let's call it that day. So
the Ides.
Crazy. The Ides of March, right? Right? All the things.
Ides of March.
So I remember getting to my little cubicle and I opened my drawer. The whole cubicle is empty. I opened my drawer and there's a magnet that I still have on my fridge to this day that I found. And it said, "And this too shall pass." And my neighbor at the time, she had gone through a divorce and she was part of the reason I was working at this new company. And I remember walking into her and she said, "What is going on with you?" Because I looked a wreck. Like, you know, if you knew me, you know something looked off. So I kind of told her part of the story. And because she had just similarly gone through something 2 years before, she said, "I'm not going to tell you it gets easy, but in a year, you'll be surprised how much easier it is." And she doesn't even know how much better that made me feel. And then I go to lunch. They assign me with some buddy. You know, you get your random work buddy. She takes me to lunch. And she said to me, "So, you know, I know where you came from, blah, blah. We talked work." She said, "So what's going on in your life?" And for the first time, I opened my mouth and I said, "Well, I'm getting a divorce." And I hadn't said it out loud. It like solidified it for me. And she goes, "Oh, girl, all the new dick." And I said, "Oh my God, I love you." She was like, "I went through a divorce. I know it's," she's like, "it's hard as hell." She said, "But you're young and you're cute and all of the new sex you're gonna have." She was, "How long were you with him?" And I was like, "Since college." She was like, "Girl, you don't even know. You don't even know." That day gave me a little spark. That day made me feel like I can do some shit. And I remember calling you like, "All right, so now I gotta get on finding some place to live. I don't know how I'm going to do it."
I remember feeling complicit and guilty.
Oh my gosh, you were so damn guilty.
I was like, damn, I fucked her life up.
You
if she
sure
would have never met me,
if Woody
none
had gone
of this,
right to the police.
If Woody had gone right to the police, none of this shit would have happened. I remember feeling that way. I was guilty but unapologetic because we were doing this thing the way, in my opinion, adults do it, right? Full disclosure, you know, eyes wide open. You knew exactly what my situation was. I knew yep. exactly what your situation was. You knew what the risks were, and so did I. We assumed them as adults. But for me, it was like, yo, this is not just somebody I'm hooking up with. This is my homie right now. Yeah. Even in a short time, like, this is my friend.
Start a new job in March, and I'm out of my house. So, you know, most people are like, "Oh, we're going through proceedings. We're doing this. We're doing that." We call our lawyer who's done like our house closings and stuff. And he's like, "I can't represent either of you really. But me and my wife just went through a divorce. She wiped out my whole savings and my kids' college money. So if you two can find a way to do this amicably, let's do it." I go online, type up a separation agreement that I saw online. He takes that and is like, "Yep, yep. Good with these. Good with these. Good with these. Good with these." And we notarize. That's our separation agreement.
And as a divorce lawyer, you saved yourselves tens of thousands
exactly.
of dollars.
And if there's one thing about him, I am going to save that money. That was the smartest
thing about that you could have done in that situation.
So I'm trying to find an apartment. And here's what's so funny. And I don't know if other women, other divorced women or other separated women, you can speak to this and tell me about this. He was still my husband in my head. So I'm trying to find houses and apartments. And I'm still checking in with him about whether or not this place is acceptable. You know, I remember going to an auction to find my apartment. They were auctioning off condos. And I took him with me.
I remember.
I had to go find a car because we were a one car household, and I took him with me. At some point, I got angry at myself, and I was like, "Why are you including him in this process?" And you know, the weirdest thing through this is how much of a friend you were being. So I'm telling you all of this, and I'm like, you know, this is what's going on, what have you. And I remember being short money to be able to move in.
Yep.
And I remember I didn't know where I was going to get it, and it came from three of the most surprising places. So called my mother, and when I told my mother, I told her the first day of the new job that what was going on, I was getting separated. And my mother said, "You know what? I've known for a year something was wrong. What do you need?" So I told her I'm gonna need some money. My mother came up with cash. Another girlfriend of mine was like, "Look, dog, I can give you like $2,000. I'm gonna need it back in a month." And I remember calling you from work and telling you that story, and you were like, "How much do you need?" And I was like, "Bro, I don't really know. We've met like a few months ago. What are you talking right. about?" And you were like, "How much do you need?"
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Because you weren't asking me for money. You were telling, and you know the difference. Everybody
right, you need money in your account to move.
Right.
And like, then you can give it back.
Oh, it wasn't like, "Oh, my mother needs surgery." No, it wasn't. No bullshit. Like, I knew you were just telling me, like, we spoke.
Yeah, I was just talking to you about my mother and how I was going to go about finding the money. And I remember you told me, you were like, "What do you need?" And I was like, "Well, you know, I'm putting together this amount, blah, blah, blah." And you were like, "All right, meet me tomorrow." And you gave me $5,000 to put in my account.
Right.
And I was friggin' floored. I was like, I don't know friendship like this. Like, this is insane to me. It felt like you were an angel. But it also was a little bit of, you know, fuck you, I can stand on my own 2 feet without having to come to you for something. So we fast forward through, and I'm now moving out of my house, and then I move out. And like the first month I'm in there, I'm painting, I'm doing whatever. I remember you helped me get my couch. You put my couch on your credit card and you were like, "Just pay it as you go."
For me, it was my friend needs me. It really was just that simple. If my sister came to me and I had it, my uncle, my brother that's not from my parents, my sister that's not from my parents, if they came to me and I had it, I would do it. Andrea and I as a couple still wasn't realistic.
No.
It still wasn't an option.
No.
I felt blessed enough that I believe that I have found a lifelong friend, and I was right. Andrea is one of the best friends I had to that point, and I will ever have. You know, the fact that we are also, you know, romantically together.
Yeah, that part.
Yeah, that's such a bonus.
That's
like the bonus to the friendship.
I'm going through all these emotions. You're being such a friend. My friends are falling the fuck apart, trying to figure out how to help me, because they're both of our friends. There's been no crew divorce yet. We were the first crew marriage. We were the first crew baby. And now y'all gonna be the first crew divorce? What the hell are you doing? We are screwing up the whole dynamics. People don't know how to talk to me, talk to him, where they should be. You know, girlfriends like, "Should I tell him off?" And I'm like, "Don't do that."
And I think that's an important point that you're making, is how when you believe that your relationship is so important to so many people that are important to you.
The guilt.
Oh my God.
Doing
and it
anything.
Fails.
And it fails.
And you are that. You are one of the cornerstones.
We were a linchpin because we were
right,
of our college
to
crew.
Friends and other family, and that fails. My God.
And the other part that started happening is people thought we were going to get divorce juice on them. Like, other married couples were like, "Yo, nah, we going to see you later." Like, it was weird. It was like, we can't hang out with just one of you, because one of you in our presence is dangerous. It exposes the chinks in our armor. It is like, contagious somehow. And all of a sudden I go from being, oh, they're a unit, whatever, to being, oh, she coming by herself? We don't need her by herself. I'm part of the starter wife kit and people are looking me up and down.
Wow. So all that happened like after you're out of the house.
So I'm out of the house.
Right.
And I think what's so funny is you were around when I was out of the house. We were still actively dating. I remember we went to California Pizza Kitchen up by your old job.
It was CPK.
Freaking pouring outside.
59th and 3rd.
We had a great lunch and we were walking out and you said to me, my greatest fear is that I will eventually leave my wife and you will have already moved on.
Mm-hmm. You had to be out of your house in order to begin that evolution. I saw it. I had the benefit, the unfortunate benefit, if that's a thing, mm-hmm. of watching your progression through divorce acceleratedly so, and I was just like, I can't do this like this. I can't rush something that's so important, not for me, not for my ex, for my girls.
It's funny because in the midst of all this, and I know it's crazy side pieces that, you know, we're here to be side pieces, but there are rules to this. Like, because I know what it feels like. I know what had been done to me. You need to do what's right for your marriage. Do not do to your wife what was done to me.
So at that point, when you were out of your home, your marital home, when you got your own crib.
And it was a nice crib.
It was dope. It was like a, I don't even know what to call it.
It was a good lair.
It was a lair.
Salacious. I set it up to be like, Negro, when you come here, you're not going to
leave. Oh my God. There was football and fried food.
And there was wine and beer and black furniture. And
it was overlooking the city. It was like far away and right there. I could boogie home in like 90 minutes, not even like 45 minutes. It was perfect.
It was a straight web.
We had maintained, if not grown stronger, you know, together. I remember it's sparking in my head, like, hold on. She's really out her crib.
I'm really out
and
of my
I
crib.
Am miserable. You know, at the same time, what's happening in my house is misery. My ex is unhappy. She had lost her job. I think there was postpartum. Our girls were just born, so there's postpartum.
It's a lot of change.
There was a lot. I did not know how to handle it, and I was rebelling against what I thought was her selfishness or ungratefulness, not for me, oh, you're ungrateful for the man I am. No, but for the fact that I know this is fucked up right now, but
we still are
driving the car we want to drive. We have these beautiful children that God blessed us with. We are living in a great crib in Forest Hills and all these things. Like,
wouldn't have been great if we knew to like we know now to like ask the questions and figure out the triggers and figure out our traumas. Because back then it was like all like,
can I
you're
tell
just
you
a selfish
something,
cow.
I'm glad I didn't. We weren't supposed to be together.
No, this
her
is
and
true.
I.
So stuff is happening in your house. I was telling you the story one day of a friend of mine who had caught her husband cheating.
I knew my ex was cheating. I knew it in my bones. Right. I had no proof.
But I told you about spying.
We were asking each other the questions like, so what's going on? Like, I know something's going on. And I would be like, I don't know what you're talking about. What's going on with you? When she'd be like, I don't know what you're talking about. Those are we'd have that conversation like once a week.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Real rap. So you gave me the spyware idea. We had one laptop and I put that shit on the laptop and it was clunky and primitive.
And you still have that laptop.
That's my boo, that laptop. That laptop saved my
we
life.
We do need to bronze that shit.
You're going to bury me with that laptop. And so
you still have the laptop that you caught her on. I still have the laptop that I caught him on. We need, and they're the same laptop, black and white Macs, versions of each other. You have the white one, I have the black one.
It's like the 3.5.
We definitely
like
need to
bronze.
It is the oldest laptop ever. We need to bronze them things. Anyway, go ahead.
So I have her passwords now because all it did at the time was give you keystrokes. So it emailed you keystrokes on demand. So I got her passwords now. So I'm like, oh, all right. So I'm into the Facebook accounts and I'm into this and that, this and that. So one day she's like, I'm going out. I'm like, okay, cool. She's like, you know, I need some bread, you know, because she's not working at the time. I'm like, okay, here's some money.
idiot. Here's some bread, you know? She's like, oh, I'm taking the car. I'm like, oh, I just gassed up the Porsche. Go right on ahead.
Now, let me sidebar here. So in our arrogance, he's like, yeah, she going out. We could sit on the phone all night. We could talk, blah, blah, blah.
You want to come by?
She dressed up.
She got like four hours.
Going out with her girl. She probably, you know, whatever, whatever. But we could talk that. We have free time now. All right. Mm-hmm. But go ahead.
So I open up the one laptop, the same laptop. I'm going to surf for something. The girls are asleep. My kids are asleep. And the webpage opens up to a hotel.
Paradise, what they want from me. Shawty's never saw marital. Vowing that it...
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.